Order. Welcome, everyone. I'm sorry for the delay. We were hoping to do our work session first in this committee, but given the uncertainty about members' availability, we will start out today by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 1598. And I'll just have to tell you that when we get a full committee, we will recess the public hearing, do our work on the bill before us, and then we'll continue with the public hearing. We have, so I'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1598. And also, we have a very extensive sign-up list for people and a lot of people who have come from more than 100 miles away. So we will limit our testimony to 2 minutes, and then so that we can hopefully include everyone and not have to leave anybody out of the discussion. So with that, I will open the public hearing, and council, give us a summary, and then I think Mr. Mayor is going to come and go through the bill for us.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1598 removes the requirement that a person responsible for a marijuana grow site applying for OLCC licensure to get a land use compatibility statement, if that grow site is outside of city limits, registered with the Oregon Health Authority prior to January 1st, 2015, and is applying for a marijuana grow canopy of 5,000 square feet or less if growing outside, or 1,250 square feet or less if growing inside, declares a marijuana as a farm crop for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission license marijuana growers and those persons responsible for a marijuana grow site registered with OHA prior to January 1st, 2015. Add setback ordinances for opaque farm buildings to list of reasonable regulations local governments can impose. Provides for expunction of marijuana-related crimes if penalty for crime has been reduced to penalty for which the crime may be expunged. Declares an emergency and is effective on passage. We currently have, I believe, 11 different amendments currently registered with this bill.
And, Adam, the amendments are on OLIS, is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's correct.
So when you give your testimony on this bill, we want to hear your opinions on the bill, but we also want to hear your opinions, if any, on any of the amendments so that we can have a complete record on this. So I don't see Mr. Mayor. I think, is he back there?
Back left.
Oh, there he is. I think, why don't you just go quickly through it so that people know what they're dealing with.
Chairs Burdick, Leininger, Mark Mayer, Deputy Legislative Counsel. Did you want me to just go through Senate Bill 1598 very quickly?
Yes, please.
And I could answer any questions with regard to the amendments as well. There are quite a few of them, most of them requested by the committee. Senate Bill 1598 basically does three things in its current form. The first thing it does is it creates an exemption for certain medical marijuana grow sites that want to acquire an Oregon Liquor Control Commission license to produce marijuana, an exemption from the requirement to get a land use compatibility statement. That's the first thing it does, and there's criteria at the bottom of the very first page of the bill. You can easily read that to see what the criteria is to be exempt. The second thing that Senate Bill 1598 does in its current form is it clarifies the relationship between some of the provisions adopted by this committee last session with regard to marijuana as a land use and counties and cities' ability to adopt regulations related to marijuana grow sites for both recreational and medical. In some ways, you could call the current amendment, the current bill in its current format, more expansive in its application of marijuana as being a farm right, and that it expressly now applies it to persons who grow underneath the medical program. And there was some issue about how clear that was in the current state of the law before. In other ways, it does create clarity with regard to the ability of a city or county to pass ordinances related to nuisance or farm structures, which if you look, for instance, in section 4 of the bill on page 2, line 37, we have two carve-outs now regarding 3935 and 215253, which give cities and counties a little bit more express power. And then the final thing it does is it contains an expungement piece that is very similar to the expungement piece in 3400 from last session. relating to crime reductions in House Bill 4014, and basically says that if a crime was reduced from an A or B felony to a C felony or a misdemeanor, then that crime is now expungible for all persons, whether they were convicted prior to the passage of 4014 or after. So it has that piece in it as well. And those are the three main things that it does.
Thank you very much. And you'll be on hand if we have any technical questions. Madam Chair? Okay. All right. We're going to start working our way down the list, giving preference to people who came from more than 100 miles away. So we'll start with a panel. Mark Collier, Terry Knight, and Jonathan Letterman or something. Jonathan, tell us what your name really is. Okay. We'll start with you three. Oh, okay, and I understand we have an overflow room. So on deck will be Sandy Diesel, Steve Hunt, and John Sayo. You'll be the next panel, so be ready. All right, welcome.
Thank you. So this is our first appearance. We were prohibited from speaking on February 1st.
You need to give your name.
Yes, Mark Collier from Southern Oregon Right to Grow. We were prohibited from speaking the first time around, so I won't be able to do this in 2 minutes, and I'm the first one that come up here and testify before you as a veteran, as far as I know. We'll be discussing the effects of the decoupling of the access to the medical program from the patients as a fallout of 3400 and the ancillary amendments. So nothing in the Cole Memorandum nor the Ogden Memorandum before it prescribes the kind of war on medical marijuana that you're declaring herein. Your actions, for whatever reason, we think we know what's behind them, will jeopardize the lawful prescription of a non-lethal, non-addictive medication, a medication that has been lawfully possessed and exchanged in this state for almost two decades. I'm here to speak as an advocate for several thousand veterans who, like me, have been prescribed the lawful and therapeutic possession and intake of cannabis for the relief of many and various ailments. What you are doing with your rules, zoning, cameras, fences, setbacks, water rights, seed-to-sale tracking has only one goal, the elimination of a lawful medical program. What you ignore is that while many patients receive a reduction in a rate for their medical cards, your rules state that veterans must have a 100% disability rating before they even qualify for a discount. 21 veterans will commit suicide by the stroke of midnight tonight rather than face the daily demons in their lives. What you ignore is that your discount for veterans who are 100% disabled is absolutely useless. Because of the, by VA definition, a veteran who is declared 100% disabled by the VA would not possess the physical capability to even shoot himself. What I'm saying is this. People are killing themselves, committing suicide with a disability rating that is well below the 100% level that you have determined is right for a special discount. Veterans rely on cannabis for symptom relief that is not even addressed in this process. What is being addressed is their access to the very medication which will and has kept them alive. This is not about smell, water, morality, or even leakage outside the state. It's not about coal. This is about economics.
Mr. Collier,
Wait a second.
I have something that might make you happy. First of all, you are welcome to submit your comments for the record. It will be open. Second of all, your point about veterans has actually been addressed in a bill. And if you'd like, I'd like our counsel to tell you what that is.
I'll let you do that later, but I'd like to just finish. I have less than half a page. Less than half a page. And we've traveled 200 miles twice.
I know, and you're taking other people's
200
time.
Miles twice. I'll be done, or we can fence about it. I'm almost done.
Okay. Just do it.
If you had told me that after 20 years of service, combined service in the Navy and Coast Guard, that my medical record would be thicker than my logbook, I would have said unnice things about something. And I had a joke in here, but I won't go there. But I will tell you that the Veterans Administration says this. I would support OMMP for the veteran based on the symptom relief that he reports. Medication, at this point, due to federal law, I cannot sign for this card. So wrapping up, it's way too short. Cole was not meant to separate me from my doctor, my VA doctor. Here's the takeaway. The Cole Memorandum having been satisfied, the senior position is no longer the Substance Control Act. We've been legal and not afoul of federal law for almost two decades. The senior position is the will of the people of Oregon, as expressed most recently in Measure 91. And the will is clearly stated, thou shalt not change. And that's exactly what you're doing. And I didn't get to address this, but you're hoping to bully Southern Oregon patients and providers and veterans into your tax plan, eliminating the supply of medicine from plant to people. That's not acceptable behavior. We are, therefore, disinclined to acquiesce to your request. Means no.
Mr. Knight.
Ms.
Ms. Knight.
That's all right.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Do you want to clarify, all veterans, regardless of their condition, will qualify for a $20 card now under legislation we're passing?
You're going to go from $250 to $20.
That's correct. And all medical marijuana patients will have be tax-free purchases at dispensaries. So just so you know.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And may I add to that? That bill has actually already passed through the House and now needs to be voted on in this.
Things are happening without us knowing about them. So if I missed it, I missed it. But there are a lot of things that aren't being told. We're getting last-minute hearing information, a lot of things that we're not finding.
Well, you know, we have a computer system now, and this is good for everyone in the audience. It's called OLIS, and all of the bills, all of the content of the bills, all of the hearing material, when you submit written testimony, that will be on OLIS. Other people's written testimony will be on OLIS. So any person in Oregon or around the world can actually tap in and find out exactly what has happened on the bills and what the bills say. So. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, Ms. Knight.
Good afternoon. My name is Terry Knight, and I represent Right to Grow. I live in Southern Oregon. And I would propose that you speak to more patients and small farmers who wish to remain medical providers before you continue further in this process. I would see regulations based on informed decisions that include them, because I believe the regulations that have been promulgated here do not. I don't think patients have had a voice. Please give us the time to share what we know, to inform you to the best of our ability on the issues that involve patients and small cannabis farmers. Delay changing the OMMP. This is not an emergency. The OMMP has existed for almost 20 years. Legislation is being generated at an amazing rate regarding this issue. And patients aren't necessarily informed about this. I'd never heard of OLIS before. We're looking for it on your sites and not finding this. We're not getting announcements via mail, email. Patients just simply don't know. And they may not even understand the process, frankly. It's a complicated process, what you folks do. And I don't admire your work in that it's hard work. Yeah, I realize that. So I do thank you for it. But I'd like you to know that many medical providers currently wish to remain in that category. They want to provide free medicine to their patients and to be able to be reimbursed for their expenses and their fertile labor. It is not a profit-driven decision. It's a compassion-driven decision. Farmers grow medicine for their family and friends. And without their efforts, their loved ones would suffer. I beg of you, do not implement these regulations at this time. It acts as an effective method for driving medical growers into the recreational market, this micro-canopy concept, if they wish to keep growing because of the money. You can't make money on medical if there are no medical dispensaries. You can't. If all you're getting reimbursed for is fine, and they'll keep going. But with the micro-canopy, the regulations are less than what they are for medical growers for what you're proposing. And what that means is those regulations become so onerous and so costly, the small growers cannot meet your requests. And frankly, they won't. They won't comply. And if you want to eliminate the black market, you want compliance, make them reasonable. Make them regulations people can follow. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Letterman?
Letterman.
Oh, very good. Okay, if you could put your name on the record, thank you.
Co-Chair Burdick, Co-Chair Leininger, members of the committee, my name is Jonathan Loiderman. I am the CEO of Green Star Growing, a cannabis grower and processor based in the Applegate Valley in Southern Oregon. I'd like to thank the members of this committee today for providing the opportunity for me to speak here. and for the extraordinary and inspiring efforts that each of you have made to this important bill in this session. Part of Senate Bill 1598 creates a path for small medical grow sites applying to go into the OLCC system to be approved without a land use compatibility statement. The purpose of this exception is to allow a degree of continuity for small, pre-existing grows to enter the recreational marketplace without being directly subject to land use review, which may threaten to shut down an operation that was operating legally in the medical program for years. We are grateful to the committee for taking on this issue, which will help small, legal grow sites transition smoothly into the new system. Green Star Growing is very supportive of the intent behind SB 1598. I am here to advocate for a small wording change to SB 1598 laid out in the -4 amendment to ensure that small growers who comply with all the other guidelines will be included even if they have had some turnover with the growers working on the site over the past year. We have worked with the Association of Oregon Counties and others to come up with the -4 amendment to address this issue. In Section 2, Paragraph 3, the bill states that one of the qualifications for an exemption to the land use compatibility statement requirement is that each person responsible for a marijuana grow site must have been registered before January 1, 2015. As written, this language would exclude grow sites which may have been operating and growing for patients long before January 1, 2015 if there has been a changeover in the growers growing on those sites. We would like to respectfully request that a change to the language from using the word each to at least one person responsible for a marijuana grow site or grower must have been registered before January 1, 2015. This language adjustment is important because a qualification requires that each grower to have been registered before 2015 means that the change or addition of any growers after January 1, 2015 would disqualify a site. Since January 1, 2015, we have experienced some turnover in our patients and growers on our properties in Southern Oregon. If the bill goes forward without the amendment, it would disqualify us from applying without the land use compatibility statement, even though we have been legally growing medical marijuana on the site for several years long ago.
Okay, you're out of time now, and I see you have written testimony, and we would welcome that in the record.
I would be happy. If I may just make one additional comment, okay. Which is that we support an additional piece of language that would require, in addition to this amendment, that each person responsible for a marijuana grow site located at the address first registered with the Oregon Health Authority prior to February 1st, 2016.
And I understand you're working with the Association of Oregon Counties on that one as well?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions for this panel? I have one question. Your second point is, does that have an amendment or is that going to be part of the -4 amendment?
I think that's included as an amendment offered by the Association of Counties, and it counterbalances some of the effects of the amendment that I've proposed in that it would limit folks that you couldn't have registered a bunch of people and changed after February 1st of this year. So you couldn't sort of attack this problem to try to make use of this after this rule is there. It's really only for people that have already set up their grows before 2015 and they had some change in the growers. The existing language would only let you use the exception if you had exact parity, each and every one.
Okay, good. That was a helpful clarification. Other questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Senator Farioli.
If with your permission, I'd like to ask Adam to orient folks to how they can easily access the Oregon Legislative Information Services System through the portal that the legislature offers on the web. It's very easy to access and pretty easy to use.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, what you'll find on OLIS is sort of the front page for all the information that we either accept as amendments or meeting materials or testimony, as well as agenda information. You'll also find on there a video, either live video, which we're streaming now, or archived video of previous committee rules. What you're going to want to look for is specifically our individual committee, the Joint Committee on Marijuana Legalization. And over on the right-hand side of that committee page, you'll find a series of meeting dates. Those are all the dates of which we've had a committee meeting. I would also encourage those of you interested in individual pieces of legislation to either e-subscribe through our e-subscribe system. What you can do up on the upper right-hand corner there is a little e-subscribe button. You click on that, click on the pieces of legislation or the individual committees that you are very much interested in, as well as putting in your email address. That time, anytime either a committee gets posts an agenda or any sort of action is taken on the measure that you're interested in, you are otherwise notified via email of that. You will also find on there some analysis from committee administrators as well as from legislative revenue and legislative fiscal for various amendments that receive paperwork moving forward and any sort of impact to the financial situation of the measure. Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, would there be any other topic you'd like me to discuss?
No, just that it is very difficult to follow this entirely complicated, very challenging policy issue. OLIS was an attempt to try to make information available, but as you can see, many of the committee members are still very much yellow sticky and paper types. So I very much sympathize with the difficulty you've had in getting information. Try the OLIS system. It may help.
Thank you. And everyone has a state representative and a state senator in this building, and if you need help navigating through, their offices have staff that can help run you through the process, because it's in all of our interests to have all Oregonians as fully informed as they can possibly be about what we're doing. We try very hard at that. So
may I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Have the Oregon Health Authority promulgate the information about all this so that patients have that.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. We are going to recess the public. Do we have Representative Wilson here?
Five.
We're going to recess the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 1511. And for those in the audience, we had Senate Bill 1511 is a bill that we had extensive public hearings on in the last couple of weeks. And the next step for that bill is to consider amendments to it and then vote on those amendments, and those ones that pass will be included in the bill, and then it will be referred to first the Senate floor because it is a Senate bill, and then that very same bill will then go to the House for consideration. This is the second of the bills that we have considered in this committee. Representative Buckley mentioned one of them, House Bill 4014, which has passed the House and is on its way to the Senate. And the bill that we're hearing today is the third bill in the series, and they all deal with slightly different things. So that's our process, and we have the bill in front of us. Adam, all the paperwork is included for the Dash 16 amendment, and which is a complete replacement of the bill. So, Senator Farioli, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move the adoption of the Dash 16 amendments dated February 11, 2016.
Senator Farioli has moved to adopt the Dash 16 amendments dated February 11, 2016. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered. Are there other amendments that wish to be considered at this time? If not, Senator Farioli, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move.
Senator Pruszynski.
Yeah, I have not had a chance to talk with Representative Wilson. He was not here at the early start. There was some discussions that have come from the co-chairs, and I guess I'd like to put some stuff on the record just to make certain we're on the same page. My understanding is that the bill that we're taking the public testimony on today, Senate Bill 1598, is another vehicle that would, in fact, allow for some of the changes that Representative Wilson, we had the Dash 17s and the Dash 18s that we're looking at trying to ensure that the continuity of the Oregon medical marijuana program is not undercut by the rules and regulations that are being promulgated as well through the agency, Oregon Health Authority, as well as some of the steps that we've taken through legislation that seems to be contrary to the will of the voters on Measure 90 when it was passed and specifically articulated do no harm basically to the OMMP program. And so it's my understanding that if we're going to have that opportunity to have those amendments to be openly and discussed and considered for the adoption of 1598, I will not move those forward today unless Representative Wilson wants to have a discussion on those at this point.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'll be happy to join Senator Brzezinski in his feeling about this.
Thank you. We have a motion in front of us to pass to move Senate Bill 1511 as amended to the floor.
Madam, point of order. I never actually made that motion.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared to make the motion now.
I just had a funny feeling you were going to, so I jumped ahead.
He was until I come off.
Actually, I yielded my time to
thank you. Yes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1511 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 1511 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I just started on the potential of looking at some of the amendments to be considered for 1511 that will now move forward and modify based on some changes I just learned of this morning, or excuse me, just prior to this hearing, that are now included in 1598. But I do want to make certain that we, as a committee, continue to do what we said we were going to do during the 2015 session, to do no harm to patients, do no harm to their relationships with growers, to ensure patients have access to their medicine, and to ensure that we allow for the OMMP program to continue without having major disruptions, major shifts in focus. And as one individual articulated during the testimony previously, to basically force individuals into a system that's looking at more of a tax revenue as compared to making certain patients have the benefit of their medicine that they have found without needing to go to a dispensary and actually have to pay for it, where now they actually have the opportunity to have relationships with the grower to be able to get their medicine and then allow for the grower to take the excess and put into the dispensaries. The part that I'm really concerned with as we continue to work down this co-locate is that we're just basically going to take patients and we're going to force them in a situation where they have to have financial means to get medicine. And that is not what the OMMP program ever anticipated, and that is not what I believe the voters ever expected us to be doing in our work or allowing for agencies to do. And you can clearly look at some of the promulgated rules or proposed rules that the OHA have put forward and their own statements of wanting to decouple patients from their growers. And I hope that we will seriously take consideration on the last of the third bill, Senate Bill 1598, small modifications to ensure as we go through this transition that we are not taking out the patients and their right to have their relationship preserved with their grower. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Wilson.
Yes, Madam Co-Chair, thank you. I hearken back to the first meeting we had at the Williams Grange shortly after we got together, the election occurring, and we gathered there, and there was such a sense of happiness over what had happened. And this, of course, was before people began to break off into areas of self-interest. But yet, in this whole process, there were those who obviously had been involved in the OMMP for years, had been good actors the entire time, were small in size, in scope. And I don't believe that they ever thought in their wildest dreams that we would fundamentally alter what they did. A number of us really said that night that we would do all we could to maintain the will of the voters there. And to, especially as it relates to OMMP. So I joined Senator Brzezinski in that. I look forward to a full discussion of this when we get to our next vote.
Thank you very much. And I just remind the committee that we're taking up time that we need for the hearing. So, Representative Buckley.
Thank you. Just to associate myself with these comments, and also when before we get back to testimony, Madam Chair, just a request that we might want to talk about the amendments briefly so people know what we've already going to be considering in the third bill. One of our amendments is to create a nonprofit license for dispensaries to try to make sure we have another avenue for access for medicine for patients. So I'd love to be able to at least mention that.
Great. Yes, we will provide an opportunity for that. That's a good suggestion. We have a lot of them in front of us, and I just want to make sure that we hear from the people, especially the ones who have traveled so far. So we have a motion in front of us. Any further discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Farioli and I will co-carry on the Senate floor, and Representative Leininger and whoever else you wish or want to appoint or delegate to or escape from, we'll do it on the House. Good work, committee. Thank you very much. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 1511 and reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 1598. And I think what we'll do is, before we start in on the testimony, if there are any committee members, and I would want you to start first, Representative Buckley, on your nonprofit idea, who would specifically like to talk about any of the amendments that you all have presented, just very briefly so that we give people an opportunity to talk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'll be very, very brief. We all share a concern, I think, to patient access and the changes that are happening as a new industry comes forward with the recreational part and our people who are motivated to move into that part of the industry. The idea was floated to my office that it might be possible to create a nonprofit dispensary license, and that growers who wish to donate, who might be in the recreational system, could donate marijuana and medicine to the nonprofit. The nonprofit would be allowed to sell the marijuana for a reduced price or give it away to patients that are qualified for low income. So it's one way we're trying to at least see if it's possible to take the goodwill that does exist in the medical marijuana program and find a vehicle for it. The growers, we get a tax break for donating their medicine to the nonprofit, trying to find a way to make that work. In addition, trying to make a way, something that I know that Senator Prezanski has been concerned about, for counties and cities that have not opted or for have opted out, they would be able to opt in if they chose to having a distribution process at a state facility in their city or county through a mobile through a vehicle that would bring medical marijuana to patients. We're talking to the Association of Oregon Counties, the League of Oregon Cities, to see if we can work that out. So, again, the idea of trying to make sure there's access for patients is the gist behind the amendment we're bringing forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And as we talk about, we're in the last 2 weeks of the session, and everyone in this room needs to know that this is an ongoing process. We are trying to move as quickly as we can toward a successful program, both medically and recreationally. But this legislature will meet again in 2017. So if some of these ideas are not fully developed by the time we end this short session, they will continue to be on the table, and we will be continuing to ask for participation from everyone on how to make this program work for everyone. Other amendments that people would like to describe. Senator Prezanski.
Thank you, Matt, Co-Chair. I guess I have three that are in drafts form now for 1598. The issues are trying to ensure that we're not going to see marijuana somehow being isolated out from other farm commodities. My concern is that we have actually inserted into one of the bills that the locals would be able to carve out and treat marijuana grow separate and distinct from any other farm commodity, which actually will get into the issue of right to farm. And I really was somewhat surprised that I heard that maybe the Farm Bureau may be looking at supporting that as a compromise. The issue there is that you're looking at opening the door to multiple other areas where people find, let's say, nuisances in these areas. You could take dairies. You can take pig farming. All of those are things that we don't really maybe want to be living next to. They do have odors, et cetera, that could be considered nuisances. And if we're going to break the door open for a farm commodity in one specific one, I would say it's a trail or a road or a door that we may not want to actually open at this stage. It seems to me it's too much haste, too quickly, and understand that some counties would prefer basically isolating out or, if not outright, eliminating these type of farm commodities or the marijuana growing. But I would say that this is one of those things that is being pushed way, way too quick. And
okay,
maybe we should
wait. Could you keep it brief so that we don't we're down to an hour and 5 minutes.
I appreciate that, Madam Chair, but you asked me to go through this, and I think the individuals in this room would appreciate hearing what we're trying to do.
Is this concept that you're describing on OLIS now?
It is not. It's in draft form because we're waiting to see exactly how we need to modify it, because everything's moving so quickly. As soon as we get something drafted, it needs to be modified because things have changed.
Okay.
We've had three different base bills.
Okay.
So the other one that I'm looking at is the same part as where we're trying to ensure getting people to comply with the law and move into the ability to actually be coexisting and not being displaced by an excess growth of production in the state, where we've already heard, and the testimony has been 3 to 5 times more product than we need. And so I'm looking at ways that we can actually ensure that those who we want to come into the fold and not be in violation of the Cole Amendment and staying out in the cold and actually taking product across the state lines, how we can enhance them to come in instead of trying to penalize them for other means. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Other amendments that people want to describe? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'll be quick. My amendment, the Dash 18s, is built on the fact that there was an election and legalization won. And what my amendment talks about is if a city or county adopts an ordinance that specifically applies to marijuana grow sites or has as its intent a significant decrease in the size or operations of marijuana grow sites, those ordinances do not apply to any address that meets certain classifications. If nothing else, this will lead to a discussion on what reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions are. And I think we need to get to the bottom of this sooner or later.
Thank you very much for that. Okay.
Madam Chair, I have two.
You do?
Because I'm going to just be kind to you, I'm going to pass it and I'll share them later.
But they are on OLIS, and would you give the numbers?
No, neither one of them are.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
could you just give us a real quick snapshot so everyone
very
will be...
No.
Keep it close to my chest.
Okay. All right. We will resume with the public hearing now. So we'll have Sandy Diesel, Steve Hunt, and John Sejo on deck. And on deck will be... on deck will be Jeremy Kletter, Peter Gendron, and Dr. Christine Perala Gardner. That will be our next panel. All right, welcome everyone.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Steve Hunt, and I'm from Southern Oregon, and I'm a member of the Right to Grow. I'd like to read something from a transcript from Thomas Jefferson that I think is quite appropriate at this particular time in the juncture of what we're dealing with. The transcript, which is his draft, said this: "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal and independent, that from that equal creation they derive rights inherent and inalienable, among which are the preservation of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. As public representatives, you took an oath. You not only have a moral obligation, but also a legal obligation to uphold the Measure 91. 850,000 people in the state made their desire known to you. They said not once, but 3 times that the medical program would remain the same. Your moral responsibility is to do the will and the intent of the voters, the people that employ you. We now understand that you can legally make changes that you are proposing, but that by no means gives you the moral authority to make the changes that will destroy and do harm to those among us that are the weakest. Over 100,000 patients have had no voice in this process until Right to Grow gave them that voice. I can speak with total confidence of the majority of the 100,000 plus patients, 50,000 plus growers do not agree with the gutting of the OMMP. For 19 years, the OMMP has worked with very few problems, helping those sick in the state and others who move in to Oregon for the purpose of healing via the medical marijuana program. For those of you who want to take this from us, that says a lot about who you are and where your interests lie. We, the people, have fought long and hard, some even going to prison, to bring this industry out of the darkness into the light. With a few bills, these organizations that care more about money and nothing about the patients will destroy thousands of lives. We at the right to grow represent the patient first and others last. As a group, we have solutions to many of the problems. Given a chance to work with you for more solutions, any bill changing the will and the intent of the people must go before the people for a vote. That is your moral obligation. There has never been a measure voted in by the people that I'm aware of that has ever allowed the cities or counties to opt out of. There have been measures voted in that affect me personally and many others I know, but the cities and counties were forced to accept these because it was the will of the majority.
Okay,
so why measure 91?
Mr. Hunt, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who wants to go next?
Madam Chair Burdick, Chair Leininger, members of the committee, my name is John Sajo. I'm director of the Umpqua Cannabis Association, and I'm here today to speak in support of Senate Bill 1598. When I was here 2 weeks ago, I talked about how most growers were having the door shut on their joining the OLCC system, and I think this bill is a step in the right direction and will help a great deal. I would agree with the earlier testimony that talked about the importance of the Dash 4 amendments. Without them, any garden that added a patient after the first of the year last year would be excluded from 1598. I can't imagine why you'd want that, so I urge you to also, it's urgent that the Dash 4 amendments be adopted. There's also a number of other amendments that I think are very important. I believe it's the Dash 2 or the Dash 3s that give processors the ability to return processed extracts and so forth directly to patients or caregivers. That's very important. As a grower, I've been it's been tremendously helpful to me and my patients to be able to take trim to a processing company and have them make it into RSO and other products that the patients benefit from. My patients will never be able to afford to go to a dispensary, and without that, they can't benefit from these products, so I urge you to support those. I believe the Dash 8 amendments simplify the reporting by allowing one grower at a grow site to do the reporting for the entire grow site. I would strongly encourage you to pass that. I'd actually encourage you to go much further and eliminate the card stacking that requires there to be multiple growers signed up at a site when there's really one person. So I strongly support that amendment. There's some others in there that I think are important as well, but I guess my time is up. So anyway, I strongly support you, urge you to support 1598. I think it's a very important and bill to protect patients and help eliminate the black market. Thank you.
Thank you. And if I could just ask our counsel, the amendment you mentioned on the processors returning the product to the patients, mm-hmm. Or to the growers, excuse me. Adam, what is that? He said it was a Dash 2 or Dash 3.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is a very, very similar amendment to one another. Currently up on OLIS, we have a Dash 2 amendment, which I believe was requested by the Joint Committee on Marijuana Legalization to that effect. There was also the Dash 3 amendment, I believe at the request of Representative Buckley, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Representative, that also allows that same process.
Okay. And I would ask Representative Buckley to take a look at the committee amendment and see if that meets your needs.
Be glad to.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for testimony. Ms. Diesel.
My name's Sandy Diesel. I'm the director of Right to Grow. Earlier you heard from some very upset patients that feel our voices have not been heard. And it is patients that feel they're not being kept in the loop. And even those of us that do have the technical ability or the competency to dig through your websites or the portal that you now have, many patients are in very rural areas in Southern California. They don't even have the broadband capability or the technology or the health. These are some of the sickest of the sick. So while I appreciate that you have a portal, even those, even myself, you know, I'm a professional, I could look up these bills, but that doesn't mean that I'm a professional, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a paid lobbyist that knows how to interpret these things. So what we're asking is kind of for the OHA to really stick, for you to hold the OHA accountable and to stick to their responsibility in being aligned with protecting patients, to improve the lifelong health of Oregonians, to increase the quality, reliability, and quality of care, and to lower or contain the costs so it's affordable to everyone. Without going into every part of this, these proposed regulations, what disturbs us the most is that the OHA issued these on December 15, 2015, and they did not inform not one single patient, grower, or caregiver. So yeah, Right to Grow is coming into this really late in the game. And I know that caused a lot of frustration from the crowd behind me, but we have to represent the patients. So today I'm submitting 1,487 letters signed by patients that want to have their voices heard. We can't comply with 1598. We can't comply with any of them until you hear from the patients. Even your micro canopy offer is really an end to the OMMP program. And it's leaving 100,000 patients at risk. And while you're trying to figure all of this out, there are patients' cards that are being denied right now that are in nursing homes that are dying. So we're asking you to please don't rush into this. Start hearing from the patients. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Thank you. Senator Pazanski.
Thank you, Mr. Hunt. Mr. Hunt.
Yes.
I just want to thank you for your testimony, your comments. I take to the heart as to having a program that's been in existence for 16 years with no problems or very few problems, and it seems like we're turning it upside down.
It does appear to be that way, and I think that's what most people believe at the moment. And it's unfortunate because we want to work with you. And we understand that there are some issues in our industry that need to be addressed and are important to be addressed to keep us all above board and keep us within the scope of what the federal government's requiring out of us. And we want to help, and we do have some solutions, but you have to work with us, and we're happy to give you those solutions and happy to work with you. And we're actually happy to help clean up this industry because we want this industry clean. We want it professional, and we believe that we can do that with your help. But without your help, we're just floundering, and we're not going to get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeremy Kletter, Peter Gendron, and Dr. Christine Perala Gardner. Welcome to the committee. Who wants to start?
I'll start. Co-chairs, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to offer testimony today. I really appreciate you giving us the chance to give you some feedback. I'm here. My name is Jeremy Kletke. I'm here representing Davis Farms of Oregon, and we're in support of 1598. As a farm that has proudly supported medical patients and will continue to do so, we think that this is some progressive thinking on your part. Albeit non-traditional, I think that we're in a situation where some non-traditional thinking may come into play here. You know, I would like to thank the committee members, the AOC, and any other involved parties who have been working on this bill. Having worked with cannabis for over 20 years and in four countries, I'm acutely aware of the sensitivity surrounding this issue. It is quite an issue, and you guys have been hearing a lot of emotion from a lot of people for quite a long time here. And this is a plant that has suffered being negatively stigmatized for generations. And so, you know, we're not easily going to overcome that stigma. I believe that it takes some sensitivity. We can't cram this down people's throats. So, you know, I respect what you're saying there, too. So, you know, in closing, again, I just want to commend you guys for listening, for paying attention to what everybody's saying and seeing through some of the emotion and working towards crafting some really wonderful legislation as we go forward. So thank you very much. I appreciate you guys a lot.
Thank you very much. Who wants to go next?
Doctor, would you care to follow up or shall I?
I'll go last. Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Peter Gendron. I'm from Sunny Valley, Oregon. You will know me as Pioneer Pete. That's what I am in the cannabis industry, is pioneer and forward thinking and moving forward on this agenda. And I'm very, very thankful that so many members of this committee are moving forward with us in their change in attitudes towards this plant, which is so vital to our economy and such an integrated part of the lives of over 78,000 medical patients and the people currently supervising over 32,000 grow sites in this state. Those grow sites were all established over the last 17 years under the OMMP, and we'd like to see the promises made in Measure 91 that those grow sites are, and their patient relationships are going to be substantially unaffected. We'd like to see those Measure 91 promises kept. I really appreciate the work the committee's been doing in moving this direction. I have a partial statement to read from the Oregon Sun-Grown Growers Guild. In support of Senate Bill 1598, at least to the extent that its provisions are necessary to prevent harm to responsible OMMP growers and their patients, we have members who have maintained fully compliant grow sites on rural residential lands that depend on the ability to recover their costs of growing by taking their excess medicine to an OMMP dispensary. As OHA testimony recently revealed, survey of dispensaries found that over 90% of them planned to transition into co-located stores operated by the OLCC. This leaves very few, if any, OMMP dispensaries available to receive our excess medicine grown in rural Oregon. We're excited about the microcanopy concept. To the extent that as growers on rural residential land, we need to be able to recover costs and deliver excess medicine to these co-located stores. With the dwindling of medical-only stores in the near future, we want to ensure the continued production from our top-quality farms remains in the regulated market. That's crucial to the success of this entire program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we go to our next witness on deck, we will have Samson Mallory, David Cox, and Cynthia Etzel. Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Christine Parala Gardner. I'm from Cave Junction. I run a small alpaca farm called Siskiyou Alpaca. I've been an organic farmer for 15 years. My PhD is in watershed science, and I have had the privilege to be a farmer in the Peace Corps in Josephine County for about 9 years now. The reason that my alpaca farm is still in business is because I finally figured out which crop young farmers want to grow. And young farmers know they cannot spinach and kale their way even to pay a mortgage. The farmers of Southern Oregon are the people I would like to speak to represent to you today. The small-scale cannabis industry of Southern Oregon has been a dynamic economic engine for the state of Oregon, which is an agricultural export state of world renown. We small farmers have developed the product and markets for a crop for which Oregon is famous, which the world wants to buy from us. World-class organic medicine serving the needs of people who choose this plant medicine. The state of Oregon has sided with the lucrative fraud of the Federal Controlled Substances Act to prevent agricultural export of Oregon's cannabis crop. How much longer can the CSA Schedule 1 continue to punish farmers who grow a crop that causes no harm to its user? Federal observers are predicting the CSA fraud could fall soon as more states vote to legalize cannabis use in 2016. By contrast, the tobacco cigarette is the only consumer product designed to kill its user. Yet it is lawfully sold daily, thank you, when globally one person dies every 6 seconds from tobacco poisoning. No one has ever died from cannabis intoxication. This need to micromanage the cannabis industry is misplaced. And please understand, small farmers of Oregon cannot comply with these regulations. We will not comply with regulations designed to put small farmers out of business. But we would love to comply with a regulated market that puts the needs of patients and small family farms clearly in the picture. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the panel? Thank you. Okay, next witnesses will be Mallory Sampson, David Cox, and Cynthia Etzel. And on deck, we will have Bob Blake, Chris McAllister, and T.J. Labertson. Welcome.
Thank you.
You can get up here quick. Welcome. Who wants to start?
I'll go ahead and start.
Yes.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, thank you for your time. My name is David Cox. I'm a full-time single father of a wonderful four-year-old daughter, a full-time employee, and a full-time medical gardener and patient here in Marion County for the last 7 years. I would like to start by saying I support SB 1598, but ask you to change the grandfathering grow site requirements. Many gardens over the last year have changed growers' location for various reasons. In my own garden, I have growers that have had to change for financial reasons, to change from making themselves from the grower before. These changes in the requirements will absolutely cripple them and make them no longer being able to be in my garden because they have changed recently. I would like to ask that we change these requirements to the end of 2015 to better allocate the fact that patients need their medicine and shouldn't be hindered in getting it or how to grow it via themselves or their grow site manager. I also want to say I support that there should be one master grower that reports for every single garden in the state. Regardless, if there is other growers, and there's always one person that is in charge, period. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Who wants to go next?
Thank you for all your hard work in this legislative
session. Give your name,
session.
Please.
My name is Samson Mallory. I work with Geek Farms. We're located in the rural North Lincoln County. I'd like to support SB 1598 as written. I simply ask that you fully define what opaque is so that there's no confusion when it comes to purchasing materials. All greenhouse covering comes in different percentages of transparency. We would just love to see this bill put to a vote promptly so that the small rural gardens can start to submit applications and get to work providing clean and quality cannabis to the people of Oregon.
Thank you.
Good point.
Welcome.
Excuse me. Thank you. My name is Cynthia Etzel. I live in Jefferson, Oregon. I'm a patient and a grower, and I serve patients also. One of the problems of being a grower is that you lose patients that are sick and dying. Being able to fill their card and help other people, such as vets, somebody else that cannot grow for themselves, is what we do on our farm. We also have people that grow on our farm because they cannot grow on their own properties, be it they don't have a fenced area out of public view, or they have shadowing because of too many trees. They have the opportunity to grow on a place that we have an organic farm, and this grandfathering law makes it difficult because we have a gal that does her wintering over of her plants at her own property. We don't winter our plants over for our next season. She has to move her card, so it's not a continuous grow. It's a difficult situation, but yet she's grown at our farm for 3 years. Please take some consideration into what you're doing because it makes a big difference. We have sick and dying people out there that they don't have a voice. I look at the constituents that you have before you. They are for the cannabis industry. Please, I implore you to please have mercy. Mercy on the people that you serve, and I thank you for what you do. It's not an easy decision. I appreciate every one of you. But please have an appreciation for the patients, the growers, and the people in our community. We're important. Our health is important. We need our medicine. It is essential to our life. I've gotten off of 5 pharmaceuticals myself and lost 60 pounds because of cannabis. I am alive because of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the panel? Thank you. Okay, our next panel is Bob Blake, Chris McAllister, I think, and T.J. Labertson. Why don't you go ahead and get started? Mr. McAllister might be coming from an overflow room, so go ahead.
Thank you. Co-chairs, committee members. My name is Bob Blake. I live in Bend, Oregon, and I thank you very much. It's amazing, as I commented to some of you before the meeting, how much has been accomplished in this short session. I looked at last year, and we spent months, and we've accomplished more, I think, in the short session than we've accomplished in the longer session. And I think part of it is the socialization, all of us getting to know one another and developing a certain working relationship. I'm compelled to, serving on the OHA RAC committee makes me want to represent patients. I got into this opportunity because of patients. I think the 1598 and the dash fours help a whole lot of people. It's the opt-out issue that is really concerning, and that I think is what we're really dealing with. And so when Representative Wilson discussed some reasonableness, time, place, and manner, I think it's really important to look at. I also would request, and I'll write all this up more formally because I like to hear the discussion when I make my final comments. I think it's really, really important that this committee develop a relationship with the OHA and guide it a little bit, or at least have some link to give the OHA guidance, because I'm on the Iraq and I feel helpless. I know Senator Prozanski has been on it, and there's just a lot of things going on, and the patients are coming out in droves with things, and we're trying to help them. The other thing is, we got to do more on research always. So I wrote you this morning. I really think that the card monies, the fees that come in, should not go in the OHA general fund. I think they should go into education and research regarding cannabis. I feel very strongly about that, or the card fee should be reduced. I feel very strongly about that as a citizen. Thank you.
Very much. Who wants to go next? Thank you.
Chair Leininger and Chair Burdick, members of committee. For the record, my name is TJ Lartz, and I'm here on behalf of United Food and Commercial Workers International Union and Local 555. I'm here to testify in support of Dash 6, Dash 7 amendments to SB 1598. Our union is founded on workers empowering workers to unite and find their voice. Nationally, we are made up of more than 1.3 million members. We are a diverse group of workers that have grown into being the largest private sector labor union in Oregon. Our members support the development of Oregon's marijuana industry. In 2015, the legislature allowed for the development of the marijuana handler's permit, but only for those workers in retail stores. We are asking that this permit be expanded to all workers within the industry and that the committee adopt Dash 6 Amendment SB 1598. Given that the industry is new and still under tremendous scrutiny, we feel it is important for all workers to have the training that the handler's permit will provide. As we testified last session, our members also support the development of a merit-based licensing system for the retail recreational marijuana industry. A merit-based application system would not cap the number of licenses allowed, but would provide that applicants would need to meet certain requirements before earning a license. For instance, meeting criteria such as previous successful involvement with the medical marijuana system under OHA with no violations within the past 2 years, having Oregon-based capital, providing community-based benefits, an environmental plan, consumer protections, etc., could be measures that were included in such systems. In 2015, the committee allowed for the development of such a system by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, but no action was taken. We now urge the committee to make such a system mandatory by adapting Dash 7 Amendment of SB 1598. Our members have great hope for the development of this industry and feel it should be one that provides benefits to its workers and our communities. We feel Dash 6, Dash 7 amendments will help further these efforts. We urge the adoption of these amendments, and we support SB 1598.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee, members of the public of Oregon. My name is Chris McAllister. I come from Springfield, Oregon. I'm an OMMP patient. I have a couple suggestions regarding 1598 and a couple parting words. In regards to 1598, Amendment 10, I think that we should add patients and providers on a board, an advisory board, or at least make one of the deciding factors have a 51% majority for patients regarding OHA matters on medical programs. I tend to use the Title 21 FDA rules when regarding medical delivery devices, and I think that there's a lot of things that we could pull from there in order to try and see where our regulations come from. In addition to access, my patients are some of the poorest in the state. What was covered with $500 over the old rules for off-site grow sites, and not counting the processing permits and things like that, my costs go from $500 a year to $9,000 to $12,000 with these new rules under OHA. We have asked for help for over 8 years from the OHA, and we were always referred to the ACMM. When we spoke to the ACMM, ACMM says that they aren't really listened to, as demonstrated through the 3,400 hearings where the head of OHA did not know that we had an advisory committee. I think that we're running a risk of having a bunch of good growers go into the legal system and a bunch of people who are not able to afford, even with the minimum wage increase. That would be 301 hours at the new minimum wage in order to get the basic permits in order to become a producer. So our Oregonians do not have options where out-of-state money and out-of-state investments would be able to come here with a lot of opportunity. So if we're going to try and help our farmers, try and help our displaced fishermen and displaced woodworkers, we need to give them options. We need to access a legal market. And I thank you for your time and your service.
Thank you very much.
Yes, question. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait. I think we had a question. Representative Wilson, did you have a question? Senator Pozanski.
Yeah, thank you. I guess they brought up another point that I've been focusing on and trying to, is the cost of the program and how much it seems to accelerate. My understanding right now that the money that's coming in on the medical card fees for patients is being diverted and has been diverted by OHA for years now, funding other programs. They've used the reason or rationale stating that they had a budget note that said they needed to be funding other things. Clearly, we have a need here where patients are being priced out as to the cost. It seems to me that we as a legislature should be giving that directive OHA to retain those funds for the exclusive use of the programs unless the legislature tells them to use it some other way. The one thing that I've heard is a replacement card for a medical marijuana patient. If they lose their card, it's $100. You go to DMV to get your driver's license replaced, it's under $30. What's the difference?
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. now we'll have Jeff Sugarman, Rob Bovet, and Scott Winkle.
Co-Chairs Leininger and Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Sugarman. I'm here today for Groundworks Operations. Last week, while I was testing out the Oregon Health Authority's new online system for registering producers and processors and tracking the products that they grow, it became clear that the OHA feels it is bound by current law to require every grower to register and to report. While the system will work well for small producers in the medical program where there are two or three growers, for those facilities with numerous growers and patients, I think this process will lead to some unintended consequences. Because many growers are actually patients themselves and do not actively participate in the actual production of their medical marijuana, requiring them to register and report will lead to inaccurate and incomplete information being filed. I believe it will also lead to many grower patients refusing to register, causing those grow sites to have to eliminate that grower and those patients from their site. This would lead to many patients not having someone be able to grow for them and essentially being cut off on March 1st or shortly after. It could also lead to a reduction in the supply needed for the medical marijuana program this summer and fall. Just as we have allowed dispensary operations to designate a person responsible for the facility, or PRF, we should allow production sites to designate the person who is truly responsible for that site to report under the OHA tracking program. Doing so will ensure that the state truly knows who is responsible for the site, as well as being able to receive the most timely and accurate information information about the products being produced at that site. The intent of the tracking system is to know who is growing, how much they are growing, and where it goes. Allowing one person to report for the entire site will lead to much greater compliance and more accurate information, so I strongly support the Dash 8 amendments. And I also just want to add, since I have a second or two left, that I also support the Dash 4 amendments, which will cover patients who have come into the system over the last year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Bovet.
Madam Chair, co-chairs, for the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties. I'll be rapid fire real quick. First, AOC supports the Bill 1598. It does the three things that Mark already mentioned: exempts certain small canopy medical growers from the Lux requirement, expands farm crop status from its current status as retail only to retail plus medical, and it provides for cleanup of the expungement that I forgot to deal with in the last bill. I'll just go real quickly through the Dash amendments, many of which I've helped others work on, just because you didn't get the index from Mark. The Dash 1 clarifies authority to process fingerprints for OLCC. Good should move into the bill. Dash 2s allow medical processors to return products to the patient. Representative Buckley has the Dash 3s. They're actually verbatim identical, so they're both good. Just pick one. Great. Dash 4s would expand the skip the Lux process for the other small canopy growers that were described in previous testimony. I work with the proponents on that. That should move into the bill as well. The Dash 5s, which haven't been spoken of yet, the bill itself expands farm crop status from medical to medical and retail. There's actually a third class I forgot about. It's the research class. They're not retail and they're not medical. The Dash 5s add those as well. The Dash 6s expands the scope of worker permits to other license categories. We're supportive or neutral. If you guys want to go there, that's great. The Dash 7s would impose a merit-based system criteria for OLCC licenses. We're not in that game, so if you guys want to go there, that's what the Dash 7s would do. The Dash 8s work with Jeff on to make the grower reporting easier. They make perfect sense to me. Those should move into the bill. The Dash 9s and 10s are both verbatim, exactly the same. One's from the committee, one's from Representative Buckley. This is about the nonprofits that he spoke about. We're working with his staff to try to get those into shape where we could get into support on those. And then finally, the Dash 12s is the RFP process for OHA research projects, and that's up to you. If you guys are wanting to move that in, that's great. So that's what I know about all the ones posted on OLIS, at least at the moment.
Thank you. Very succinct. Mr. Winkles.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. I will go through the amendments as I understand them and let you know where the league stands on them. We'll start with the fives. I don't believe the first four are relevant to directly to city operation. The Dash 6, we do support expanding the work permit requirements. We believe professionalizing and additional training and requirements for the people in the I think the bud tenders is the phrase we're using. Is certainly advisable. We also support the Dash 7s, the merit-based system when it comes to hiring liquor agents. I've watched that work several times through the OLCC. I believe it is a worthwhile process, and it does and it serves the state well, and I believe it would translate well to the marijuana system. Moving to the Dash 9s and 10s, we are in conversations with Representative Buckley's office trying to come up with a plan. I think the concern we would have is in a cash-only environment, a mobile scenario is concerning to us. I don't think we can provide the same security level as you would in a brick-and-mortar store in an enhanced 911 system. So we're wary. We're in conversations. And I would say, well, technically, I would say we were neutral on the Dash 12, the RFP. I will relay that many city councilors in the state have a lot of questions about the science and the decision making, and so anything we can do to improve the quantity and quality of the science available to decision makers in the state, it would be beneficial.
Thank you, and I want to thank you, Mr. Bovet and Mr. Winkles, and you too, Mr. Sherman, for your work on this. Some of these issues are very complicated when it comes to the interaction with local government, and your work has been very constructive, all three of you. So thank you very much. Okay, questions from the committee? All right. So we're reaching the end here. Next, we'll have Mary Botkin, Lindsay Reinhardt, and John Hudnall. You don't look at all like Mary Botkin.
I know.
Did I strike?
All right. My name is Judy Mirrens. I'm with Mary Botkin and Associates. I'm the associate. Mary has a throat problem today and so is unable to testify. Quite briefly, we are here in support of 1598-11 amendment that isn't yet posted to OLIS but should be soon. We just got a copy of it. It would define products that have a concentration of THC less than 0.9% of their weight that are intended to be applied to a person's skin or hair and that is processed in a manner that makes the product unpalatable as not being a marijuana product. So we've talked with most of you a great deal about the concept. This also would apply a four-year sunset and would require that OHA keep track of any problems with it. Should there be problems with it, with people who, say, children getting a hold of it and trying to eat it, we think that they get sick before high, but at any rate, OHA would be required to keep track of any sort of problem. Should there be a problem, then the limit would revert to the 0.3% that Washington State passed. So that's Thank pretty you. Well it.
Okay, let's go next.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Reinhardt, Greetings Co-Chair Burdick and Leininger and Committee. I am the representative lobbyist for Sirius Enterprises and Portland Normal. My Portland Normal testimony is very short today. Thank you for the expungement language in 1598. We're very happy with that and thank this committee tremendously. My testimony from Sirius Enterprises is on the dash two and dash threes. Again, thank you, Representative Buckley and the committee, for your agreeance and to the processors being allowed to transfer cannabinoid products back to the grower that provided that for them to the patient. Also, I have a legislative concept coming, an amendment for 1598 in regard to the OHA and dosage limits. I know that we've got some issues with that dash three amendment from 1511 that limited the OHA setting dosages for patients. I would really implore the committee to think about that a lot further, discuss, please call me. The patient limits being put forth by OHA are unreasonable, especially in the regard to edibles and topicals. I have seen the new chart. I am agreeable with the new limit at the 4,000 and the 1,000 for the extracts. But as a patient that consumes edibles to treat multiple sclerosis, I'm needing to tell you that the limits of 100 milligrams, that limit, a patient usually typically pays $10 for a 100 milligram treat, but the dosages go up and vary slightly more, but less money. So at $12, you're purchasing a 500 milligram treat, which is a patient. I can score that into five doses and eat that dose daily, and that would increase my cost of my medication by $40 a week in order to buy a 100 milligram edible for my breakthrough pain. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Madam Co-Chairs, members of the committee, my name is John Hudnall. I'm a longtime medical grower, and I'm a veteran of the United States Armed Forces. I come here to ask for your help. There was a recent city ordinance that states that I may not be located within 1,000 feet of another medical marijuana business. In our industrial park, there's more than one medical marijuana business, so who gets to stay, who has to go? And also, there's another part that says we cannot be within 200 feet of a residence. So I'm asking for you guys' help in maybe enacting an amendment to grandfather us in from these city ordinances.
Thank you. Thanks. Questions from the committee?
Can you tell us what city you're referring to? So we just
Staten.
That's at least city number two that have gone below our intent.
when I spoke to my attorney about this situation, she had a stack of files from numerous people within the state that are having the same issue.
Well, this is clearly the whole issue of time, place, and manner regulations, and some of the extremes that some of the local governments are going to is going to be an ongoing subject of discussion from this committee. Representative Leininger.
Thanks. Thanks, Ms. Reinhart. I wanted to speak to the point you raised. You've raised some really good information for us that's helped us do some refinements that we needed to do. In case other people haven't seen this, looks like OHA issued something today that is some adjustments for concentrations that make them more, I think, more acceptable to the patient community. So I want to thank OHA for progress that they're trying to make to move in the right direction. And I know it's been hard and they've had a lot of staff transitions, but the patient community has been really good at helping people learn, you know, about the needs of the community. I'm hoping that the language that we put into, was it 4014 that said, or maybe it's 1511? Oh, okay, we just passed it through in 1511-16 that directs OHA to look at the medical uses to which medicine is put as they're determining potency thresholds or, you know, ceilings will help get at the point that you are raising. Because it's a really important point, but we've been reluctant to prescribe numbers in statute because things are evolving. But your points are well taken, and I hope you're feeling like there's progress being made.
Thank you. And I also thank the OHA and the committee for working with the OHA to raise these limits. I just think that, again, we need to see that the limits on patients, when we don't have the correct data to say it takes X amount of milligrams per day to treat each condition when every patient's dosage is different, to set these by rule or to set them by statute is detrimental to the OMP program.
Senator Pruszynski.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Madam Co-Chairs, I think this is one of those situations where we've allowed for OHA to work on it. I'm not saying they haven't gone advanced it, but they haven't gotten there yet. And if we don't put some type of prescription, some type of a threshold, we're going to continue to see patients being directly impacted. We won't be back for a year before we can actually take up the issue. So I would suggest that we do put something in there so we have at least a cooling off period. We get more work done, and then we can come back in 17 and adjust them. And if it's appropriate to drop them down, we can drop them down. But right now we know that from this patient and from others I've heard that the 100 milligram on the edible limit is just, it's ludicrous for someone that's right now medicating at 1,000 milligrams a day. That means they have to buy 10 bars to eat that much more non-active ingredients to get what they need.
And the packaging concern for the state of Oregon as well.
So I kind of just follow up and ask Senator Pruszynski that. So what I am understanding, you say that you think that we should, as a body here, to set some threshold right now from our perspective rather than waiting for OHA.
I think that based on all the testimony we've heard through the two sessions, we can actually put a threshold that says this is the minimum based on what's happened in Colorado and Washington State, so we're not deviating. When you look at the numbers that they have for recreational, they cut everything in half for two other states. Why are we dropping that far down without having empirical evidence as to why that is? And it just seems like on the medical side is even more pronounced as to the impact it's going to have.
Maybe we could ask our council here to do a little research and let the committee know how Colorado and Washington have handled this, because I think that would be helpful in our discussions. I think there's obvious problems with prescribing dosages in a statute, particular dosages. But on the other hand, if the agency needs some direction, then we want to have something to base it on. So
thank you. And thank if you. I may, Washington and Colorado are both 10 to 100 for the adult use markets. And to my knowledge, there's not a limit set for the patient dosages.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And now we are down to our last panel, which is Peak, Kimberly McCullough, and Tracy Reif.
Go first?
Co-Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. I want to start off with an apology because I feel like I've been neglecting this committee this session. So just to catch up really quick, I did want to note that the ACLU of Oregon was very happy to see the numerous reductions in criminal penalties in House Bill 4014, and to thank Senator Przanski and Representative Olson and others for working on those provisions. As I'm sure you all know, ACLU would like to eventually see things on the marijuana side be directly in line with what's on alcohol, so we've made significant progress that way. Part and parcel of that with those sentence reductions is the relief for folks who have already experienced the criminal justice system because of marijuana prohibition. And so just want to express our strong support of the expungement provisions in 1598. As to the amendments, we understand session is moving really quickly. There's limited time, and so we certainly don't want to hang up the progress that's being made right now, in particular with 1598. But I do want to note our position on a few of the proposals. First, we want to voice our support for the consideration of the amendments, which will preserve the medical system and protect patients. So along those lines, Representative Wilson's Dash 18 amendment to House Bill 1511 that limits local ordinances that have a significant impact on existing medical grows, we think is very important. And so just really hope that you will very seriously consider that. In addition, Representative Buckley's Dash 10 amendment to 1598, which would create the nonprofit dispensary system, it seems like a really great model for potentially helping out patients who their medicine is at risk. In addition, just happy that there was just a discussion about what I understand to be an amendment that will, as yet to be posted, about sort of limiting OHA's ability to set dosage limits. We have similar concerns with patients. Patients and doctors have been working together for a very long time under our current system to set appropriate dosages for patients, and those patients have not, you know, we haven't heard of some huge problems happening because of that, so it seems almost like a solution in search of a problem right now for OHA to be setting limits when there really is no medical consensus on what those appropriate dosage limits are. So we just like to see that relationship between the patients and the doctors preserved. So those are just the amendments I wanted to speak to, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Pete.
Thank you, committee members. My name's Pete, Peter E. Kramer. I'm with the Mercy Center, Patient Resource. We're one of the oldest patient resource centers here in the state. I'm executive producer of MTV, which is broadcast on Comcast 23. I go to a lot of these meetings. I have our business card to share with you. On the back of it, we have a Friday night live phone-in show. We talk about the benefits of cannabis. I would like you, please give us a call, because we would like to talk to you. We are concerned citizens. I've been with the program for 17 years. I've seen up and downs. The main thing is getting new conditions put in. The main thing, God, these prices. How can you afford, how can a person that's on food stamps, Medicare, barely taking care of them, how are they coming up with this money if they're not in a special category? You are all doing a good job. I think this bill should pass. and have fun and go fly a kite.
Thank you very much. That is actually a very good way to conclude this hearing. Thank you.
Please give us a call. There's Perry's email address and our phone number and the phone number of the television show.
Great.
We would love to hear from you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. With that, committee, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1598 and just let the audience know that our next step is the possibility, if we can get all our ducks in a row, to pass this bill out with amendments that are able to secure the necessary votes. Our goal is to do it on Friday. That's an ambitious goal. But stay tuned, because we may be actually able to accomplish that. Senator Pazansky.
Madam Chair, based on my, the results of my amendments that went in last week, not having all of the paperwork ready this morning, I'm begging, not asking, I'm begging the co-chairs to not push this through by Friday. I've talked to LC. They said they're already backed up. They need conforming amendments for the to put into here. I would ask you to hold off at least till Tuesday to give all of us an opportunity to be able to have that open discussion. I've been told we would have an opportunity to actually move stuff, unless you're willing to move stuff without having all the paperwork.
Yeah, and our intention is not to, it's a fine balance at this point in the session, because things that are delayed too long end up not making it through the session. So we have to weigh that against the desire to have a full and complete discussion, because this bill, I think you could hear from the testimony, there are parts of this bill that are very important to people. So We will do our best. We will soldier on, and our intent is certainly not to close out discussion. So, other comments from the committee? Quit smirking, committee. All right. Thank you very much. Good work, and we are adjourned.
Can I call adjourned?
And we are adjourned.